evening. It's good to be with you this evening. It's good to see so many of you able to be back and with us as well. We've got some visitors. We want you to know that you're our honored guest. We hope you'll be back with us every opportunity you might have. And I want to take just a few minutes before I begin my sermon this evening and say thank you. First of all, thank you for the elders for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. But I also want to thank, I just want to take a minute and be frank with all of y'all for just a second. My family and I, we've been going here about, I guess, about a year and a half. And Brother Guy just forgets my name from time to time, evidently. Still, but anyway. But no, in all seriousness, though, really, I just want to tell you that in that short span of time, we've grown to love each and every one of you. And we, you know, this is a place that Sunday morning I wake up and I'm excited about coming to worship God. I'm excited about getting here. I'm excited about seeing y'all and getting to talk to you again. And you know, being a Christian can sometimes be tough. It can sometimes be a little hard. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight, but having a place where you're excited to go makes a lot of difference. So I really appreciate that. I thank all of y'all for being so good to such great people, and I thank the elders for being so such great leaders as well. And I thank Brother Guy for remembering my name from time to time and for being so enthusiastic. I hope I got as much energy as you do at 80 years old. This morning, let's start there. Brother Guy talked about Esther. And in talking about Esther, he put this slide up there. And I'm just going to read it to you. But it says, have you ever faced a time in your life where your circumstances just seem plain awful? Like things cannot get any worse. Only to get worse. Maybe you're in a marriage where it seems your spouse just doesn't care about you. Maybe you have faced death in your family and think, I just can't do this. Maybe you're in financial hardship that is really no fault of your own. And you wonder, God, what are you doing? When Brother Guy put this up there, I saw a light bulb went off in the back of my mind. I'd already planned out most of my lesson. I already had my PowerPoint done, and I ran back there after church and I copied this from his slide and stuck it on mine. Not to re-preach what he'd done, but I thought that's where I want to begin tonight. I want to start with that mindset that fits perfectly. It ties perfectly in with what I've prepared. That's where I want to start as we talk about tonight climbing through life. A few years ago, I decided I wanted to learn how to climb. I'd been hiking a little bit and I enjoyed the outdoors always, but I decided I wanted to learn how to climb, and so I went out to an outdoor store in Huntsville, and I found this book. It's entitled Knots and Ropes for Climbers, written by Dwayne Riley. I got this book, I took it home, I opened it up. The very first page of that book had this paragraph on it. It said, we cannot safely climb without rope, and we cannot use rope without knots. Knots, like life, are slippery, full of twists and complications. Both are unforgiving. Make one wrong turn and the whole mess falls apart, or you find yourself wrapped in hairy snarl. When I read that paragraph, I sat there and thought for just a minute, you know what? Isn't that like life? How many times has that happened to us in life? And that is that, you know, what's the saying, life happens? Or maybe another saying, what can go wrong will go wrong? And what both of those things are really saying is that one thing goes wrong and everything else just seems like it snowballs. And all of a sudden in life, we find ourselves just standing in front of this mountain, this seeming mountain of obstacles in our path. And how are we going to get over them? How are we going to conquer this mountain in our path? Tonight, or this evening rather, that's what I want us to talk about. William Shakespeare wrote, when troubles come, they come not as single spies, but in battalions. True, when one thing goes wrong, several things go wrong. And life is not only like that, but spiritual life is like that as well, isn't it? That it's so easy in spiritual life to be going along and everything seems good, and all of a sudden we found ourselves at the base of this enormous mountainous obstacle in getting to heaven and in being a Christian and going to church, living a Christian life. You know, the point that I want us to all start off on this evening is that climbing's tough. Climbing is tough. But you know what? We have a climbing manual. We've got a manual that tells us how to do it. You might take your manual out and you might look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. You might put a finger there or a marker there this evening. We're going to be referencing that back and forth as we study. The first step we find in Philippians chapter 3 in climbing towards life, climbing through life, is Paul tells us to focus on the goal. Focus on the goal and nothing else. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not place confidence in the flesh. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 3. We do not place confidence in the flesh. Perhaps more directly, Jesus says this says something very similar in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said, "Watch and keep yourselves from covetousness. For a man's life is not in the abundance of things which he possesses." Once again in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven for yourselves, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Focus on the goal and nothing else. Forget about all these things that we find so important. Forget about all these material possessions. Forget about all these cares and worries of the world that choke us out as Christians and threaten to suffocate us, but focus on the goal and nothing else. The men in this picture, this is Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. They're on their first ascent to Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, a little over 29,000 feet above sea level. Standing on top of this mountain, a man will literally begin to die without doing anything else. The air is so thin, the oxygen is so sparse that you cannot survive more than a few hours on this mountain. As I look at this picture, a few things kind of pop in my mind. The ruggedness of the landscape, the burden of those packs that these men are wearing, the rope that links them together. But you know what I see? These guys are not looking back at where they were. They're looking forward at where they're going. They're looking up. They're looking towards the summit that they're climbing towards. Focus on the goal and nothing else. Our next step that we find is to keep moving. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I am pressing on, if I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Christ Jesus." I want to stop, pause for just a minute and look at some phrasing here. He says, "Not that I already attained or already perfect, but I am pressing on." Not I'm walking on. Not I'm just strolling on. Not even I'm jogging or I'm running on, but he says, "I am pressing on." And Paul's going to use that same word later on in our study again. But he says, "I'm pressing on." The idea, when I think of pressing, I think of a guy that's giving it all they got, that's running for the finish line, exhausting every last ounce of energy, of breath, of life, pressing on. We keep moving. You know, being a Christian is tough. Sometimes it's tough to keep moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. "We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened. Perplexed, yet not unto despair. Pursued, yet not forsaken. Smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body." also in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Nobody ever put on a suit of armor to clean their house. Nobody ever put on a suit of armor to play around the golf. But when you put on a suit of armor, most of the time, what do you do it for? What do people do it for? They do it for battle. They prepare for battle. You know, when climbing's a lot like that. Climbing is tough in real life. One January, around New Year's Day, a friend of mine and me, we decided we were going to go to the Smoky Mountains and we were going to climb Mount Lacan. For some unknown reason, I'll never do it again, but we decided we're going to climb up Mount Lacan. And we get about halfway, well, not even halfway up there. The trail is icy, the snow is hip deep, and we're trudging through and cold and tired. I had a pack of Lifesavers, a tube of chapstick, a pocket knife, and a lighter in my pocket, and that was it. And not even halfway there, man, I hit a wall. And I sat down on a rock, I ate some snow, I picked an icicle up and started eating that, and I thought, man, I'm not going to make it. I am not going to make it up this trail. And you know what I did then? I kind of thought about where I was. I'm in the middle of the woods and really don't have much option but to make it the rest of the way up this trail because I don't have any supplies. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. And so I got up and I looked up the trail from me and I picked out a tree. And I just started walking, putting one foot in front of the other, walking to that tree. I got to that tree and I picked out another tree and I started walking. And I just kept walking to that tree. And I got to that tree and I picked out another one. And then I got to that tree and I picked out another one. And finally I got to the point on the mountain where I could see there were no trees. I could see the summit. Said, you know what, now I'm going to walk to the top. And I just put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes that's what being a Christian is. It's just, we keep moving. We keep moving towards that ultimate goal, and we also reach forward. That brings us to our next point, Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13. It says, my brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. Forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to sleep. He told another man, follow me, but the man said, sir, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the dead bury their own dead. You must go everywhere and tell about the kingdom of God. Another said, I'll follow you, sir, but first let me tell my family goodbye. And Jesus said to him, whoever starts the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Reaching forward. That's what being a Christian is about. Sir Edmund Hillary, one of the first people to climb Mount Everest, said, to climb Everest, we simply climb to the next camp. We simply climb to the next camp. Had we tried to climb the mountain, we would have failed. I want to think about that for just a minute. He succeeded in climbing the mountain, but he said to do that, what we did is we didn't look at the whole mountain. We didn't look at Mount Everest itself, some 29,000 feet above sea level, but we looked at the next camp, the next 4,000 feet. To climb Mount Everest, what they did is they went up and they set a camp every 4,000 feet up that mountain until they hit the top, until they were within sight of the summit. And then you know what they did? They reached forward. They just kept moving. They focused on the goal. we climb to the next camp, not the whole mountain. Not the whole mountain. Finally, the final point in Philippians chapter 3 that he makes is that to never forget that we have a reward. Never forget that we have a reward. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the of the high calling of God. Press. There's our word again, press. I press towards the mark for the high calling of Christ Jesus. Giving it everything I can. Why? Why? Towards the mark for the high calling. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Very emotional passage. Hopefully I can get through it tonight without tearing up on you. But Paul puts that same concept a little bit differently. He says here, for I'm already being poured out. Time of my release is here. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to also to all those who love His appearance. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Remember, as we go through life, as those obstacles come in front of us, in front of our path and threaten to make us give up, threaten to make us surrender, threaten to make us quit our walk towards heaven, remember that we have a reward. Remember that we have a reward. And remember that we can get over those. We simply focus on the goal, we keep moving. We reach forward, and we remember that reward. This mountain is the Matterhorn. It's in the Swiss Alps. We've looked at this mountain in several times tonight. You might not have realized exactly what we were looking at. But a few statistics on this mountain. First of all, it's 4,478 meters high. In contrast to that, Mount Everest is a little over 8,000, so roughly half the size of Mount Everest. It's definitely not the highest mountain in the world. It ranks pretty low on that list. In fact, it's not even the tallest mountain in Switzerland, in the Swiss Alps where it's located. It's about the fourth tallest there. You know what? It's not even the most difficult to climb in the Alps. Once they had started climbing these mountains and they had gone back, they kind of ranked them in which one was the most technically difficult. I think it ranks about number 8 on that list. It's really not even that tough to climb. Now, I probably wouldn't want to climb it, and you might not either, but I'm told that if you're an experienced mountain climber, it's not that tough. Let me put it that way. In fact, you can walk about there on the mountain. You can walk up about almost within a day's range of the summit. You don't even have to have ropes or climbing gear. But it does have one very important distinction in the Swiss Alps that no other mountain has, and that is that it was the last mountain to be conquered. The very last mountain in this mountain range to be climbed. Why was that? Not the highest, not the toughest. It's really, in comparison to some of the other mountains in the same range, is nowhere in the same category, but yet it was the very last one. The reason that this was the last mountain to be climbed in the Swiss Alps is because it looks tough. Because because it looks tough. Look at that thing. For years, people looked at this mountain and they said, you know what, that is too hard to climb, we're not even going to try. They'd walk a little bit up that mountain, they would come back down. Before they even took out a climbing rope or a pickaxe. For years, they climbed other mountains that were twice as hard as this one to climb and twice as tall. And they would go up those mountains with their pickaxes, with their pitons, with their crampons on, with their ropes. And then they would look at this mountain and say, it's too tough. We're not going to try that one. Finally, one day somebody said, you know what, I'm going to try that one. They realized, you know what, it's not that tough after all. You know, if you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. Or if you're here tonight and you've wandered away, then it can look like a long way to that front pew. It can look like a long, long, hard, tough walk. And it can look like a really tough walk to become a Christian and to keep on living a Christian life. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not as tough as it looks. It's not as long a walk as it looks. I guarantee you, if you're here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation, that walk to the front is not the longest walk you'll undertake in life. Nor is it the most difficult walk you'll undertake in life. The Matterhorn was only the last mountain to be conquered, because it looked to be the toughest. It looked to be hard. You know, I think a lot of times we look at Christianity through those same lenses. We look at it and we think it's tough. It's going to be so hard. Before I became a Christian, let me share one more story with you and then the lesson will be yours. But before I became a Christian, I had kind of made up my mind what I wanted to do. I mean, I made up my mind that I needed to do that. I knew I did. And I went home one night. I went to a meeting. And I don't even remember where it was. But I went home one night, and I was laying there in bed, just kind of tossing and turning and flipping every which way and trying to get to sleep. And you know what? I just kind of came to myself, and I said, you know, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to tell my mom, you know, I need to go be baptized. And so I start downstairs, and her bedroom is at the base of the stairs, mine was at the top, and I start down those stairs, and I'm walking down those stairs, and I'm trying to be quiet, and I hit that about the third step from the bottom. I still remember which stair this was, and I remember the sound it made. But I hit that stair, and it made this creak sound, this creak. And man, it scared me. Everybody was quiet, and I turned around, and I shot back up those stairs, and I jumped back in my bed, and I pulled the covers back on me. And a few minutes later, I heard my mom get out of bed, and I heard her creep up those same stairs, and I heard her make the same creak on the exact same stair. And then I heard her get to the top and peek around. I laid there in bed, and I pretended to be asleep. You know, to this day, I don't know why I didn't roll over and say, yeah, that was me that made the creak on those stairs. All I can say is that I was scared. But a few years later, I finally did make that decision. I finally did become a Christian. And, you know, I can say in retrospect that I wish I hadn't let that creaky stair stop me. I wish I hadn't let that creaky stair scare me back into bed. Wasn't that scary? Wasn't that difficult? It only looked to be. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then I want to admonish you. I want to ask you to start to climb through life. Start climbing. Start tonight. Say, I want to become a Christian. I want to start my climb towards heaven. Or if you're here tonight and you've wandered away, then do the same. Say, I want to make my life right. If you need to do that in a public way, then we're here for you. We're here to support you, and you're not going to find anything but love. If you're here tonight and you need to be baptized, the same goes for you. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, won't you come while together we stand?